Rays from the Ancient Satellite by Sam Gabriel. From Thanks for Playing. Read by the author. Based on the works of Andrew Hussey and Clutch. Every time I look out my window, same three dogs looking back at me. Every time I open my window, cranes fly in to terrorize me. Clutch. Burning Beard. B. Roxy. People think that the void is black. They aren't wrong, not really, but they aren't completely right either. The thing they don't think about, that they don't get, that you do get, is that void looks different from the inside. It's hard to explain. See, the thing about void, void, you might as well capitalize it because it's important, and you're supposed to capitalize things that are important. What are you talking about? The void. Void is black, but it's not, because, look, if a thing is red, that means red's the only color that bounces off it, off the apple or whatever. People see a red apple, but actually the apple is blue and green and yellow and all the rest of the colors, because red is the only color it doesn't keep. Void keeps everything. People look at the void and they see black and they think there's nothing there, but everything's there. Everything that ever fell into it is still there. That's the point. But the point doesn't matter. None of any of that matters. Not to people, because all people see when they look at something is whatever that thing gives back. And all the stuff, all the color, all the light that ever fell into the void is still there. It's not going anywhere. It's no use to anyone. Anyone but you.
Tipsy Nostalgic, TG, began pestering Tentacle Therapist, TT.
TG. You need to talk to me, Rose.
TT.
Busy.
TG.
Don't give me that, girl.
TG.
You're busy, you just don't want to talk.
TG.
But you gotta, we gotta.
TG.
I know you know that.
TG.
Didn't raise you to be stupid.
You can reach right into void like it's the cushions on your couch and pull shit back out. Pull out shit that no one even knew was in there. Shit people forgot about. Like, you know, spare change, the remote, socks and shit. A ring.
TT.
You didn't raise me at all.
TG.
Hmm?
TG.
Okay, maybe frown.
TG.
Hmm?
TG.
See, look. Hey, I'm sad. You made me sad.
TG.
Got it out of your system now?
TG.
Can we fucking talk about this?
TG.
Like, ever? It's been...
TG.
Holy shit, it's been a month, Rose.
TG.
Month and change if you count the rest of the session.
TG.
I know you don't like to think about it, but we gotta.
TG.
We don't even need to talk about your thing, it's just my thing.
TG.
Fuck, I don't mean it's my thing, like, hey, everybody listen to Roxy's problems, but fuck that.
TG.
It wasn't just me that got hurt, and it wasn't just Callie, it was you two. And I know that, and you know that, and I know, and blah.
TG.
Let's talk.
TG.
Hi?
TG.
Hello?
TG.
Earth, Cedar, Rose!
Tentacle Therapist, TT, is an idle chum. TG.
Less sign.
Tentacle Therapist, TT, is an idle chum.
You probably came on a little too strong that time. Oh well, you'll keep on trying. A dangling foot with socks still half on pushes against the alchemized shag carpet to swivel your chair around in jerky, stilted movements, and round and round and round and round you go. A conical glass traces a jerky, stilted spiral on its way to your mouth. A pink-nailed finger curls around the skewer to hold it out of the way. And your mouth is flooded with the taste of vodka, vermouth, and olive brine.
B. Jade.
You don't miss, Beck. It wouldn't make much sense to miss him because he isn't dead. He's you now, and it's really fun to be your own best friend. That sounds like the kind of joke that, well, that John would have made, but it really does feel like that. It isn't like self-esteem had ever been a problem for you when you were growing up, but you'd certainly never loved yourself as much as a dog could love a person, and now you are a dog. And that person they love is you, and you feel that love, and you feel yourself being loved, and it's a lot of fun. Being Beck also makes you more excited about a lot of things, mostly good things. Balls, sticks, meet your friends, but also bad things. Danger is one of those things. And you're really good at spotting danger now, like Beck always was, especially danger to you, or danger to your friends. You've always been brave. But when someone you care about is in danger, you don't get scared even a little bit anymore. You get mad. And when you get mad, you get Beck mad. For example, during the session, right at the end, when everything was crashing together, you saw the Batter Witch bearing down on someone you cared about. You saw the big scary lady and her big scary fork thing and danger, danger, bark, bark, grr. And threw yourself right into her path and ow, ow, ow. That's ow times three. One for every hole that got put in you, which is three holes. There were some complications as a result of that, and they are not fun at all. You're not sure when walking is going to be a thing you can do again. It's kind of amazing that you can still do the whole thinking and breathing and living thing still. You aren't paralyzed. You can move, sort of, and you can definitely feel everything right down to your toes, and wow, you wish you couldn't most days. But you can't stand up. Your legs won't support you, and it hurts so much. What's more, what's worse almost, is that you don't have powers anymore. No space warping, no teleporting, no flying. Whatever let you tap into all that stuff broke the moment you got hurt. You broke. Your body is an absolute wreck. You are an absolute wreck. And no one knows what to do about it. There aren't really any doctors around anymore, or Jane, to fix you. Dirk offered to kill you, and it was really nice of him, but people are worried that it might work too well. And in fairness, you're worried about that, too. Would it still count if the heroic part was 7 weeks ago? No one's really sure. So you've just been laying here, not moving more than you absolutely have to, and it is just no fun. It really is a good thing that you're your own best friend, too, because almost no one comes to visit you here in the infirmary. It's fine, it really is. People are busy. Look, this is how busy everyone is. John and Jane are busy being dead, fair enough. Dave is busy fighting robots with Dirk all the time, also fair enough. They are trying to kill everybody. Rose is really busy being in charge, and also sad all the time. That's fair, mostly. Carcat is really, really busy being Rose's second-in-command, which, okay, that's really fair. Latch doesn't have a whole lot to do because Rose never sends her on any missions, but you and her aren't really all that close in the first place, so that's fair, you suppose. Who are you forgetting? Oh, right, Roxy is really super extra busy being drunk, and that's just awesome.
Hello!
Oh, no. It's me, your sort of grandson, I suppose. Not again. I just wanted to say that I'm sorry again. Please go away. Have you been? I've been doing fairly well myself, all things considered. Why just today? Maybe if you kill him, Dirk can kill you, and your death wouldn't be heroic anymore. That would be so fucking cool. Minutes pass, and they feel like hours, and they might have been hours. Chattery, annoying, interminable hours before Petr Chumdings.
Oh no, Jake, I am so sorry, I have to take this.
Very good, Jade, I'll get out of your hair, or fur, I should say. I'm such a bustle of activity, this place is not like where we come from. You and I, all sorts of important missives and orders and intelligence going this way and that.
Yes, it's super important.
He gives you a big, toothy grin that causes you physical pain to look at.
Jake?
Out the door he goes, smiling all the way.
Arsenic Catnip, AC, began trolling Garden Gnostic, GG. AC.
No.
AC tumbles back into the cave covered in blood, but mostly oil.
GG.
OMG, I am so happy you are back.
AC.
Yeah, me too.
GG.
Did the mission go okay?
AC.
Hmm?
GG.
Oh, I'm at the hunt.
AC.
It went awesome.
The boys are going to take a catnap, I think, but I'm still just frisky enough to pick up where we left off.
AC.
If you want.
GG.
I do want.
GG. GG.
I mean.
GG.
Meow.
AC.
Parade.
AC.
Okay.
AC.
Clear throat. Ahem, ahem.
AC.
The big talon beast looks down at Lady Howling Moon with a fire in his big scary eyes.
AC.
You dare to come before me unarmed, witch of the third realm, he roars.
GG.
Lady Howling Moon clenches her fists and stands her ground and says,
GG.
A witch of the third realm is never unarmed, and me least of all.
Hours pass, and they feel like minutes. Nepeta's nice, and she always makes time for you on Patrichum, even though she can't ever visit you here in the infirmary. That one is really supremely fair. The first and last time she came by in person, you ended up trying to chase her, and ended up in a really, really painful heap on the floor next to your bed. It sucked, and it hurt, and it was really embarrassing. She tried not to laugh, and she helped you up while you growled and snapped at her. So embarrassing, the worst. Ugh. This, though, this is really nice. And it's really fun. Be Dave.
Look, I'm just saying, think about it. I have thought about it, Dave.
Because I think.
No, I think. I think all the time, Dave. Thinking is my job. It is all I do.
Your job is to hit things with half of a sword and be multiple people simultaneously.
Okay, I don't do that second one anymore, and you know that?
One of you is still enough to be the bane of my existence, Dave. She's joking. It's banter, but her smile is sad.
Thanks for noticing. Also, swinging a sword, a whole entire sword, by the way, still takes thought. It's like physics. You ain't got a monopoly on thought, Rose. Got a mustache and top hat and keeping the American people down and shit. Couldn't rock that shit if you tried.
The smile becomes more real. Why do you think I lack the swagger?
Now that you're too busy having a monopoly on being a bitch.
She laughs, finally. Fuck, it's been days.
I'm your bitch, though.
No, you are fuck the hell not.
Then why are you trying to get me to do things, Dave?
She just wept. I'm just trying to get you to train with us. You could use it. Even if you can't, you know, leave.
Like Latch does, and she can't leave either because you won't let her.
Don't let that bitch out of your sight.
I mean, I sure wouldn't.
What? Oh shit, is it too soon to joke about this?
Latula and I aren't even friends, Dave. We can't stand to be in the same room as each other.
Oh shit, it's too soon to joke about this. She doesn't even know yet. God damn it.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you train with us, you could at least hit her with a whole entire sword, too. Like for pretend.
Why did you say that? Why did you start talking about this? Why are you the only human on this entire planet who knows anything about quadrants?
Well, because Carcat won't shut up about them.
If only you could shut up about this,
or stab her with my needles, like for pretend.
Wait, what?
Very well. It sounds like fun. I'll see you tomorrow at 0700.
And off she goes. What the fuck just happened?
Carcat is going to be so pissed.
Minutes in the future, but not many.
I am so proud of you!
Man, that's fucked up. What?
This is amazing!
Dude, don't be proud of that. How is this a good thing?
Spare me your feigned quad phobia. I know you're happy for her.
I was kind of sort of happy for her when I thought it was already happening, but I don't know about...
It was already happening, Mulch. Pan Latch has been pitched for Rose ever since she came back to life, and Rose has been waxing pitched for Latch for at least 3 or 4 weeks.
Why do you have to say waxing?
Because that's what the fucking word means.
That is not the only thing the word means.
And let me tell you, Rose could use some concupiscence in her life. Do not.
It's outstanding, Dave. You're like a... What do humans call clown competence?
You know, like a complete moron who's really good at one thing. David Hasselhoff.
You're David Hasselhoff at Quadrant Matchmaking, and I love you so much!
Look, you needed one goddamn motherfucking win today. Be Roxy.
Hey, Dirky, I got something to tell you.
You rap on the open door to Dirk's room on your way in and throw yourself into his one chair, feet knocking over a couple empty cups as you whip them up onto his desk. Make yourself right at home, Roxy.
Thanks, baby. So I started drinking again.
What?
Off the wagon, you know. Anyway, what's up with you? Meet any cute boys?
What?
Joking, lol, not joking about drinking again. Please don't tell Rose.
Roxy. It's super nice of him not to say that this is the last thing everyone needs right now. You can read it all over his face, well, in small print, like microfish, micro... What's that stuff called? Roxy, microfish.
Microfish.
What?
Sorry, you're not going to tell Rose, are you?
Tell Rose? Roxy, everyone knows that you're drinking.
They do?
Fucking damn it. Roxy. Roxy, you have been drinking since we arrived on this planet.
How did you know?
Were you actually trying to be sneaky about it? I thought that was an ironic bit.
Stealthy. Can't see me.
Roxy, I have seen you pull fucking pre-garnished dirty martinis straight from thin air. Right in front of me.
It's easy and convenient.
Are you going to stop?
Probably not.
Why ever the fuck not?
Sometimes I hear stuff when drinking.
What?
It's fun. See stuff, too, sometimes.
What kind of stuff do you see, Roxy?
Hard to explain.
Are you drunk right now? God damn it, of course you're drunk right now. I can smell it.
Tipped. Not drunk.
Jesus fucking Christ, you've picked a hell of a day to come stumbling in here. It's talking about how you're so drunk you're seeing Santa Claus.
It's not fucking Santa. I just see a fancy Santa once. I'm only once. Why is hell a day to call?
Oh, it looks like this is a bad time after all.
Oh.
Because Rose had something to tell me too. Get the fuck in here, Rose. Why not?
Fuck. Santa, Roxy?
The fanciest of Santas, apparently.
I should go.
Dirk claps a hand on your shoulder. Rose sighs.
No, stay. Honestly, you need to hear this as well. Just set your functioning too high for a moment, if you would be so kind.
We might need your special project.
Oh, fuck.
You set your functioning too high for a moment. Rose?
I had a vision. Terezi has Durse.
She what?
Well, just the moon of Durse, to be specific.
Oh, no, it's fine, Roxy. She just has the moon of Durse. Rose, that is impossible. Every Durse we know about is gone. And its moon. She has one of them shrunken and capture-logged.
How?
Would you like me to tell you what I know, Dirk, or would you like...
Fine. Sorry. Carry on.
Rose sits down on Dirk's bed. Terezi has a moon of a Durse in her Silodex as we speak. Whatever method was employed to shrink it seems unavailable to her at present, as she is currently in the process of developing some other method, likely technological in nature, to unshrink it. The moon's residents fly banners of Crocker Corp Red on every street corner and spire, and they are arming themselves for war. That's the majority of it. Any questions before I continue? Did you see how many towers it had?
5.
All right, we'll circle back to that. How thickly inhabited is this moon?
Thickly.
I estimate that this will increase Terezi's fighting strength by a factor of at least 3. They're going to use it. It. On that. Oh, no, no, no,
no.
Pardon?
Rose, no. All of his people. Those are just people.
We are fighting against the extinction of our species.
We could just leave.
You fly to your feet.
We could just go, Rose. Leave the planet. Is it really worth all those lives?
Terezi has the mother grub, Roxy. It is not just our species. It is hers. You sit back down. Rose stands and turns away from you.
These Dersites worship her. Terezi, they worship her. That's what I saw. She's not their political leader, she's their god. They sing hymns to her. They brand themselves with her sigil. Anyone who does not pray to her is sacrificed. I saw it happen. That is what she is. That is what she has done to these people, and what she will give them in return is nothing. She didn't come here to rule. She came here to destroy. Those people are already dead, Roxy, and if we had time, maybe we could persuade them, maybe we could save them from her. But the second that moon appears in the sky, and it will appear in our sky, I saw it, I saw it. Do you understand me? It will happen. We cannot stop that part. All we can do is stop them. If we don't, they will sweep over Earth Sea, find this bunker, kill all of us, and then to rest. She turns back to you, and the pain on her face turns your stomach. It wouldn't matter that we chose Latula. Please tell me you understand. Please, Roxy. You try to answer her, but no words come. I know you hate me. Just please. I don't hate you. It isn't a lie. But she doesn't believe you. She can't, not yet. And it isn't what she needs to hear right now. I understand, Rose. Her face screws up and she gasps in a breath and turns away from you again. You made it. That's all you did. You aren't going to use it. I am. It's not on you. It's on me.
Rose, you're making it worse. Please.
Okay. Okay. You stand up and reach your hand toward her, but she turns further away. Lets out a high, keening scratch of a wail that stops the moment you sit back down. Dirk waits for her shoulders to stop shaking, waits for her to turn back to both of you, waits for her to sit back down on the bed. Expression so plausibly neutral that you want to drink and drink until all you can see is fancy Santa's.
To your last point, that is actually inaccurate, and it's important that we establish this now.
Go on.
You won't be the one using it. You'll give the order. Who carries it out?
She rolls her eyes.
Are you really suggesting that you and Dave will mutiny, Dirk?
No, I'm asking you if Nepeta is going.
Ah.
Oh my god, five towers, that means...
Yes. And that's actually not all. Dirk, I saw a Colonel Sprite there on the moon, red... Not quite Kronkerkorp red, but close, with Aqueous's horns, and she sighs and cradles her forehead in one hand. Your glasses, Dirk. Something breaks. You imagine that it was whatever Dirk's hands were touching at that moment.
I knew it. I fucking knew it. Every single drone felt like him.
Dirk, what the fuck?
Hal, Roxy, they felt like Hal.
You always thought they felt like Dirk, actually, like Dirk was fighting himself. You don't say that because you're drunk, not stupid. Tipsy. Not stupid, you're kind of stupid.
Fuck. Dirk, how in the almighty fuck did she get her hands on your Colonel Sprite?
I mean, how did she get her hands on Durs?
Many unanswered questions. Jesus.
You couldn't read that microfiche with a telescope at this point. Poor Dirk.
None of this makes any fucking sense. The only part of it that does is Nepeta. This makes a very great deal of sense for her. Narrative sense.
Okay, listen to me already.
Grow the fuck up, Roxy. You know what kind of universe we live in. Lived in. This new one. What other rules would it follow?
Like it's a trap, right?
It is obvious, Roxy. That's sort of... I see Dirk's point. You might not see my whole point. To enlighten? This is an opportunity gift-wrapped for Nepeta, to the point where, look,
An artifact of Nepetele Jean's game session is about to reappear, two universes distant and right next to her, and Equius Zahak is going to be on it. Show me a timeline where she does not set foot on that moon, and I will show you a doomed timeline.
We can't think like that.
We can't afford not to.
No, fuck that, man. Like, what, it just makes sense to the story or whatever, so she has to go?
I agree that it's likely to be a trap. Inevitable that it's a trap. Likely inevitable that she will be there to spring the trap, but not inevitable that the trap will catch her or hold her. Rogues are unpredictable. They can surprise you. And regardless, she won't be alone.
It's so cool you're making all these plans for her and stuff. That's nice. Say, Destra, maybe this should be her fucking choice?
No, that is not how this works.
How what works, Rose?
The chain of command, Roxy. The question of Nepeta's wishes on the matter is academic.
It's not fucking academic.
Because we know what she'll say. Equius is there. She will want to go.
I mean, okay, fair.
Regardless, Rose, I think it would be appropriate to make this a volunteer mission.
I think it would be appropriate for you to stay in your lane, Dirk.
He quirks an eyebrow. You think? Would you prefer I keep my suggestions to myself in the future?
I would prefer you stop short of telling me how to do my job.
Is that an order?
I have no intention of giving you an order you won't follow.
I have no intention of responding to your transparent passive aggression in kind.
I'm crestfallen, Dirk. That's my very favorite part of being transparently passive aggressive. What will I do without it?
I have several suggestions, but I suppose you'd prefer that I stop short
of... No, by all means.
Suggestion the first. Take your sanctimonious bullshit and shove it...
Wow, this sure is productive, huh?
Dirk snorts. Rose flares. God damn it, that wasn't what you meant to do. Fuck. Look, I don't want to start a precedent of staffing high-risk missions on a volunteer basis when our resources are at such a premium. I don't have the luxury of prioritizing narrative consistency over tactical reality.
Narrative consistency is our tactical reality.
Fine! The narrative at play right now is that Rose Lalande is in command of the Resistance, making all of its very limited assets her responsibility. For Rose Lalande to cede any part of that responsibility to one of those assets...
Come on!
...would make no narrative or tactical sense whatsoever.
A fucking asset? Mepet is your friend!
Yes, she is, and she signed up for this. We all... signed up for this. The decision that I should be the one who took over from John was unanimous, and she was part of that. That was her call. This is not. It is mine. She signed up for this.
Where the fuck else was she supposed to go, Rose?
She stands. Where were any of us supposed to go, Roxy? She turns to leave.
So are you sending her a...
Probably! I will need to think about it. How long do you have to think about it?
A month.
We have 1 month. Noted. He cocks his head. See you in class tomorrow, Rose. Her eye twitches. So does the rest of her. Indeed. She leaves. You're not sure if you have ever seen Dirk Strider look so very, very tired as he does right now. The real doomed timeline will be the one where Rose Lalande is not an insufferable, shrieking harpy.
Be nice.
Be sober. You give him a hug. He sighs and hugs you back. Be Latula.
Mornin', Rose?
Do you think I should have lived to be mourned by Dirk Strider's son?
What a stupid reference. You know, I'm Roxy Lalonde's son, too. I think it matters. She likes wizards. Maybe you should...
Leave it alone, Dave.
Leave it alone, Rose.
Cut the cheddar. We're here to work. Whatever you say, Dad.
Whatever you say, Dad, sir.
Oh, my God, Dave, you sold me a bill of goods. This had...
I said cut the cheddar.
Fuck!
Holy shit, you don't even see him move and she goes fucking flying radical! He has got to teach you that one.
I have no intention of giving you an order you won't follow.
Adorable.
It's all right, we'll work on that together. Whatever you say, Dad, sir. He helps her up and pats her on the fucking head. Holy shit, Dirk is the coolest person in the world! Cute eye twitch there, Rose.
Dave, I want you to start Rose on the basics of Krav Maga.
Whatever you say, Dad, sir.
Lachula, you're with me.
Whatever you say, Dad.
No. Nepeta. Wait, Lejean's here? Surprise people. And suddenly she is wrapped around your head. Sick. Hours in the future, but not many. By the time you and Rose stagger into the girl's ablution block, Lejean is just leaving. The steam from her shower wafting vaguely in her wake. You imagine it smells a bit like wet cat, but of course you have no idea. You sniff it experimentally, nothing. You shrug and throw Rose a sidelong eye.
Fucking Lejean, right?
You are correct. Also, fucking Dirk.
I tried flush, you know.
With Dirk?
That look! She is so easy to needle.
Lol, no. With Lejean.
Oh, and did you flush with her?
So fucking personal, Jigus, but nah. She's flush on that bark beast girl, I think. That's cool.
Oh, cool.
Wow, is she flush for Jade too? You don't check, it's more fun this way.
You aren't too bad at this, you know.
She snorts.
Yes, I am, and you fucking know that.
Yeah, you kinda suck.
She sags against the wall. What's on your mind, girl?
I hate this, all right? I'm not any good at it, and that's fine, because I'm not field ops.
Neither am I. You won't let me.
Oh my god, I am so sick of explaining myself to people. The circumstances will not allow you to be field ops, Latula. The tactical reality, not me. This is the path forward. My purpose is to see the path forward and interpret it. That is what I do. That is my job.
A shudder starts at her shoulders and crawls down to her fingertips, increasing in intensity like a shockwave. It's hypnotic.
All of that aside, the realities of having a physical body that needs physical maintenance are superfluous to that. I find it irritating, that is all. I am tired. I am sticky. I need a fucking shower. And these are not states of being that I habitually—
Oh, you're so fucking interesting.
Excuse you? I'm not allowed to have any problems?
I mean, you could bitch about them, lad.
Bitch about them? You asked me what was on my mind.
Yeah, I thought you had some, like, important?
Fuck you.
Fuck you.
You are actually getting legitimately pissed off, huh?
You know, like, I thought you had something important for me to do. I cleaned that session up for you in, like, less than 2 weeks, and
it wasn't for me, it was for all of us.
It was for you, babe, you know it was.
Don't blame me because you said yes.
You hate that I said yes.
Oh, that got her attention.
What?
I think you hate me for saying yes.
Shut up.
Why is that? It's fucking weird.
Shut up.
I mean, don't get me wrong, it's hot.
And that gets her attention.
What?
It's hot, but it's weird, dude. What's with that, right? Must be something pretty fucked up to make you hate me for saving you. For saving all your friends. It must mean you're pretty fucked up, right? That's so fucking hot.
It has never been this easy before. She attacks you like a ripper wasp, all grabbing and scratching and kicking, and she has forgotten everything Dave just taught her. It's kind of funny. Okay, it's really funny. You could dodge every last thing she's throwing at you without touching your powers, but you don't even want to. It's like standing in a hurricane made of girl. Hot girl.
You go down. You let yourself go down, obviously. You practically pull her down on top of you as you break fall. And everything stops for a moment as she straddles you. Hands on either side of your head. Knees on either side of your chest. And hovering right above your waist. What the fuck is in there? You have got to find out what she has in there. You focus on her face.
Oh yeah, that's an expression that transcends species.
I want...
What do you want, babe?
Oh, she's so cute with her little lip quivering like that. You bite down on your own.
I want to fucking kill you.
She makes the most adorable sound when you grab the back of her neck and yank her towards you. Your lips brush across her ears.
Fucking do it then. Just take off your fucking clothes first.
She does. And then she does. And then she does it again. Be Jade.
AC.
Meow. Lady Pouncepaw bats her big green eyes at Lady Howling Moon.
AC.
Why don't Mew come over and do something about it then? She says.
AC.
And then her dress falls to the cave floor.
Hello, Jade. Fuck, shit, hide, goddammit. Jake, hi. Not a great time. Apologies, Jade. It's a matter of some urgency. In fact, I am hiding, you say.
Voices from the hallway cut off your reply.
This is not a discussion. No shit, it's not. It's a fucking argument because I'm pissed off.
You dash off an apology to Nepeta and listen in utter fascination.
Words cannot describe how pissed off I am every second of every day, Latula. Our emotions do not enter into this calculus. You are not going. That is hoof, beast, manure, babe. You are nook deep in your emotions. Don't even act like—
You are a principal asset to this cause.
I'm a glorified shield generator. Mine is the glory, and plus a kiss masses who doesn't want me to endanger myself? Humans are so fucking dumb and weird.
If you die, we all die.
Well, guess what? I'm not gonna die because I'm too fucking radical and a god. And the only reason I'm even still doing any of this is for your hot, spoiled, thinks her blood's the same color as her fucking eyes. Fucking lame ass. And that's not heroic or just, babe.
My eyes.
Fucking fuchsia ass. I'm dating her imperious codependence is what I'm fucking doing.
You glance at Jake, who is just as riveted as you are.
Her imperious codependence? Shut up, it sounded better in my pan. My eyes are violet.
Your eyes are stupid.
I'm not the only reason you do this. No, you're not.
A loud thud shakes the wall from the hallway. This is starting to stress you out.
I want to do more. All I do is fix the shields, train for nothing, and play fucking video games.
This is starting to make you uncomfortable.
And fuck her imperious codependence, apparently.
Really uncomfortable.
Shut up.
And sad, and tense, and growly, and danger, 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 danger. Jake looks at you, then pokes his head out the door. Oh god, oh no.
Hello?
What the fuck?
Could you ladies, I mean that is to say I have a bit of a headache and...
We're going, Jake.
Splendid, splendid.
He retreats back inside, closes and locks the door, and gives you that big, toothy grin. It's almost enough to hide the full body shudder that quakes him for a split second. Somehow seeing that makes Beck calm down. You calm down. God. Thank you. Mind if I sit down? Please. He sits. Was that, Jade? That was the thing that put me in this bed, Jake. That was the thing that saved your life.
Jade, I'm so sorry.
Don't fucking apologize again.
Please, Jake, just let me talk.
He clamps his mouth shut in a parody of compliance that would be annoying if it wasn't so uncomplicatedly sincere. It's still kind of annoying. Welcome, though.
I'm stupid now.
You look down at your hands, your tiny, weak hands, because you can't look at him while you say this.
I'm not just broken, I'm stupid. Not all the time, just only when it matters. I was always great in a crisis, I was amazing in a crisis, I learned that from you, Jake. Not, you know, you.
When you aren't looking at him, it feels like it's Grandpa you're talking to, and you don't want it to be, so you look back at him, and you don't want it to be him either, but it has to be somebody, and it can't be Nepeta, because you don't want her to hate you. She just started liking you, and you look back at your hands, at your fists. You are not going to cry about this.
I was brave, and collected, and smart, and I could do anything. I was cool. I did cool things, amazing things. But now when there's danger, when I get mad, I get Beck mad.
One tear, that's all you get. One.
I get stupid.
Just one.
When the Batter Witch was going for you, God, I've played it over and over in my head so many times, Jake. I was a goddess of space and crackly bullshit magic. I had so many options. I could have done anything. Warped you away, warped her away, shrunk you, shrunk her. I don't know if it would have worked on her, but it would have worked on you. I could have done something smart, Jake. But I just saw big scary lady, big scary fork thing. Danger, danger, bark, bark, grr.
You shift around on the bed. Ow.
And now I'm broken. Jade, I'm so...
Jake, if you apologize again, I'm going to kill you.
Sorry.
Not about that, not about that.
Right, right, sorry. I'm broken now. And I'm not a witch anymore. Of space or the third realm or anything. I'm just a stupid, useless lump who's only smart when it doesn't matter. I'm only smart so I can sit here and think about how badly I fucked up. And now if I still had powers, I mean, we wouldn't even need to do Operation... What stupid name did Rose give it again? I don't recall. Whatever, Jake. I could solve the problem in 10 seconds if I still had my powers, but I can't even go. And the pet is going? And I think I love her, Jake. And she's gone on missions before all the time, but this one feels so big and I can't make it smaller. I can't even see her in person before she goes.
You could always try again. There's time. I mean, the operation is, what, 3 days from now?
Jake, no, I can't. Haven't you been listening to me? I can't do that. I can't control Beck. I'm broken. I'm stupid. And go away, Jake.
His face falls. He stands. He walks to the door. He opens the door.
Jake, wait. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Please. Please do go for now. I need space. I don't want to yell at you again, but I'm sorry.
He gives you that smile again. He walks through the door. He closes the door.
B. Arqueous Sprite. Your name is Equius Zahek. Your name is Autoresponder. Your name is Arqueous Sprite. All of your constituent parts are interwoven, pattern welded into a whole that combines the supple moisture of flesh with the digital superiority of silicon. A perfect marriage of motivation and means. You are strong. You are many. And you have a job to do. Well, more to the point, Nepetele Jean, Dave Strider, and Dirk Strider have a job to do, a mission. Their objective is the successful delivery of a device to the core of Durs Moon 1.47852 Beta brackets Scrub, and the subsequent activation of this device. You are going to help them. For starters, they will need their target. One of your uncountable splinters, Neophyte Class Administration Drone 07H, presses a button, and the sun is blotted out. Durs Moon 1.47852 Beta brackets Scrub fills the sky, and its 3 million inhabitants raise their voices in adulation and wrath. In the name of the one true seer. None of them will reach Earthsea alive.
B. Karkat.
Is Jade situated?
Good. Jake gives you a thumbs up as he sets the brake on Jade's four-wheel hospital device in a corner of the command center. Rose is on her couch, failing to look calm, but you'll give it to her. Roxy is nowhere. You can't smell any soap perfumes.
Latch is breathing down your neck. Do you fucking mind?
Give me something to do.
You point to a random screen.
Monitor that and shut up.
Cool, thanks, sorry.
You activate comms.
This is Resistance Actual. Sound off.
We are never calling you Resistance Actual. Resistance Actual, standing by with package in hand. Tamias testified.
He ain't even actual. Rose is actual. I'm here.
Does I'm here mean you're good to go, Nepeta? Pre-flight and shit?
Nepeta's fine.
Are you fine? Is everyone ready?
Oh my fucking god, yes!
Boar's green, sir.
That means literally nothing. She throws you a cheerful thumbs up. You want to die.
Okay, cool. Whatever. Operation Fancy Santa is go.
B. Arqueous Sprite.
Operation Fancy Santa proceeds precisely according to plan. Nepeta Legion, Dave Strider, and Dirk Strider touch down on the surface of Durs Moon 1.47852 Beta, brackets, Scrub. They begin making their way to the core. They meet with stiff resistance. They avoid engagements with Carapacians where possible, preferring the relative facelessness of your splinters. The device is passed from person to person in a relay as each pulls ahead, then falls behind. Each is herded in the most optimal way, in the most optimal direction, for the most optimal eventuality. You note minor statistical discrepancies as adjustments are made from level 413, rounding errors in the machinery of the universe. Everything from the precisely calculated troop movements to the mechanical reconfiguration of the topography of the moon itself goes exactly, precisely to plan. Dave Strider and Dirk Strider flee to the surface with absolutely no way back down. Dirk Strider wrenches the head from one of your uncountable splinters, calibrator class strike drone 278L, and regards its optics coldly. You order every unit in the area to cease fire.
Hal, are you in there?
Servos hum as you rotate the optics clockwise.
Are you still? You.
The hum changes in pitch as you rotate the optics counterclockwise. Dirk Strider's voice drops in volume to a level that the audio pickup can barely discern.
Are you still me?
The hum bifurcates into a dissonant chord as you rotate each optic in a different direction.
You're fucking with me.
The chord rises in pitch as you spin the optics faster and faster and faster, then screeches to a halt as the head shatters against the cobblestones of Durs Moon 1.47852 Beta, brackets, Scrub. You order every unit in the area to resume fire. As always, the orders specify that they are to miss every single shot. Be Karkat.
Karkat.
Don't you mean resistance actual?
Shut the fuck up, Karkat. We need to abort the mission.
She's still in there, man. She's still in there.
Dave, it's over.
Fuck.
Dirk, I can't hold them off much longer.
I've got eyes on you, Dave. Closing soon.
What the fuck is going on?
Nepeta has the package. She's still inbound on the objective. We're cut off from her.
Nepeta? Nepeta, come in!
We never had a shot here. This was rigged from the beginning. God damn it! We're exfiltrating.
That's not your call, Dirk!
Then put me on with actual fucking actual, Karkat. Rose, make the call!
You turn to Rose. She is no longer attempting to look stoic.
Now, Rose!
She nods. A tight down up of the chin. Then buries her face in her hands.
Get out!
Affirm!
The thud it makes when you break three of the bones in your hand against the brushed metal wall of the command center is drowned out by Jade's agonized wail. Be Arqueous Sprite. Nepeta Legion continues unimpeded to the core of the planet. Several of your uncountable splinters, prosecution-class camera drones 2479D through 2479Q, track her every movement, record her every utterance. She has the device in hand. She is calling a name. It is one of your names. She nears the core. You take your position. She sees you. She stops. She takes 5.3 steps forward. She speaks a name. It is one of your names. You use your right hand to apply precisely 85 pounds of force to the object in your left hand and release. The arrow strikes Nepeta Lejon in the center of her torso. Sparks erupt from the blast-off device strapped to her back. Olive-hued blood drips onto the circular slab of stone at her feet as she staggers. You use your right hand to apply precisely 85 pounds of force to the object in your left hand and release. The arrow strikes Nepeta Lejon in the center of her forehead.
The car cat.
Holy shit, everyone shut up! I'm getting a signal from Nepeta's comm!
The command center goes utterly silent but for the garbled sounds of static coming in on the channel. Then the static clears and gives way to a crystal clear transmission.
I have a message for all of you. It is this. Thanks for playing.
The sound that follows blows out half of the speakers in the command center. It is a sound that every single one of you has heard exactly one time before. Except for Nepeta. And then her calm goes dead.
Be Nepeta.
Wakey, wakey!
Your first moment of godhood is one of pain. You are on your stomach, and your back sears with twin eruptions of intense, throbbing, shooting, so much pain. You look for something else to focus on. The blast-off device sits on the ground near your head, propped on its side by a long, olive-covered shaft.
I used to have one of those.
Her voice is coming from directly behind you, above you.
The blast-off device. Mine had wings. And then I got some wings of my own. And let me tell you, that's when everything changed.
Wings.
Yeah, it hurts when they first come in. It'll pass. Quicker than you think, too.
It starts to. Your new limbs ease into their shapes as blood fills them, and with immediate, instinctual understanding of how they work, you flap backwards and up. And then you're standing face to face with one of your oldest friends.
Hi, AC. It's been a while.
Where's Equius?
Equius was never here. That thing looks like Equius, and it looks like Dirk, but it's neither one of them. It's something better and worse than both. Kind of freaks me the fuck out. I can count on him, though. Our goals align so well.
What goals would those be?
I'm sorry, but we don't have a lot of time. And let me be frank, you aren't getting out of here. Extra sorry about that part.
I don't think you're sorry at all. If you were, you wouldn't be doing any of this.
No, you're right. I'm not sorry. I don't feel bad about it one tiny bit.
Stop lying, Perezi. No, Terezi, you don't deserve my puns.
Those are only for Jade now, aren't they?
Don't change the subject. Just because you aren't sorry doesn't mean you don't feel bad.
There's the Nepeta I wanted to talk to. Open, honest, insightful. Exactly the kind of consultant that Crocker Corp needs right before a big product launch like this one. And with some brand new credentials to boot.
Credentials?
You're the Rogue of Heart, Nepeta Lejon. And I have a matter of the heart to ask you about.
I'm not answering any of your questions.
Oh, yes, you will. See, the funny thing is, I already know what your answers are going to be. And I know what I'll say in return. I know the whole rest of this conversation by heart. And if that's all I needed, I wouldn't have had to actually do any of this. I mean, there were other benefits to doing it this way, knock-on effects. Anyway, for the sake of argument, I could have just imagined all of this instead of actually bringing you here. But here's the trick. You're gonna lie to me. That's right, Nepeta. You're gonna fucking lie to me. And I might have been lying right back to you. It's something I do. But see, I know everything we're gonna say and everything we're gonna do, but I don't know what either of us is gonna think until the moment we think it. And this moment, Nepeta, this moment, oh, this is the big one. So I gotta be sure.
She had been slowly walking towards you the entire time she was talking, and you didn't notice until she was 2 feet in front of you. She takes your hand and places it palm flat against her chest.
Take a piece, rogue of heart. What? Take a piece.
How do you know I won't take all of it?
You won't. And if you do, I have ways of undoing that. It's a rapidly dwindling resource, but let's just say I have another consultant on the way to extend the shelf life.
And what are you yowling about?
Hey, there are those cat puns. I knew you cared.
Fuck.
But if you take a piece...
She leans forward until her forehead rests against yours.
You'll find out.
No.
You'll find everything out, Nepeta.
Shut up.
You'll find out why, Nepeta.
Shut up.
Why I did this.
Shut up, shut up.
Why I did all of this.
Shut up, shut
You'll
up.
You'll find
shut
out
up,
why
shut up,
I
shut up,
murdered
shut up.
Equius the Hack and turned him into even more of a freak than he already was.
You reach into her heart and take hold of it. You tug, and for a second, for a split second, you are Terezi Pyrope. And you understand. And then you are Nepeta Lejeune, and you collapse onto the slab that rebirthed you, dry heaving. Your body is so new that there is nothing in it to expel. The olive stains remain pristine and bare.
Oh, what the fuck?
Was it that good for you? Sorry I didn't bring a pail.
Fuck you, Terezi! How could you do this?
You know exactly how. And so do I. I don't need you for that.
She grabs you by the throat.
I need your perspective.
And hurls you backwards onto the slab. You almost black out, but she climbs on top of you, slaps you awake, puts a hand on either side of your head, and wrenches your gander bulbs open with her thumbs. Her glasses slide down, dangling, swaying back and forth.
I have lived for thousands of lifetimes. I have seen the scope and majesty of Skaia's narrative reach. I have sailed up and down the lanes of causality like a gamblignant at sea. And the star I navigated by was named Vriska Circuit. I watched her, studied her, analyzed her, codified her, wrote the book on her. I know everything about Vriska Circuit, and now, so do you.
You think about trying to throw her off. She snorts. You don't bother. She smirks.
So tell me, Nepeta Lejeune, rogue of heart?
She tosses her head and her glasses go flying. The solid red voids of her eyes bore down into you as she mashes her nose against yours.
Will it work?
Will it? Can it?
Come on, Nepeta, you're so good at this. All those charts, all those grids, all that paint.
Could it?
Come on, Nepeta, is there a chance?
A chance, a chance. Your pan whirls like a blender as it churns through the possibilities, spraying them all over the cave walls of your mind that just got so, so, so much larger when you ascended. You're seeing it for the first time. There's so much more room in here to consider the possibilities. What happens when something is moved or flipped or swapped or taken or given or rearranged? It's infinite. It's infinite. You need a brush and a canvas. You have to show this to the world, to everybody. It's amazing.
Focus on the possibilities.
The possibilities, the possibilities are endless. Anything is possible, theoretically, but that doesn't mean... It doesn't mean... It doesn't mean that Vriska and Terezi This Teresi. It's theoretically possible, like it's theoretically possible that you'll get off this moon alive.
No. It won't work. It'll never work.
Teresi is grinning with an intensity that could ignite a dead star. Then she throws her head back and laughs like a supernova.
Objection, your tyranny! The witness is guilty!
Then she swings back downward like a crouching insect, and her eyes take up the entire world
of perjury.
She giggles. She laughs again. She rolls off of you and kicks her legs as she exhausts and cries and weeps. You get to your feet, slowly, cautiously. She springs back to hers and wraps you up in a hug. You throw her off.
I don't blame you, Nepeta. I really don't blame you. It wasn't really a lie. I just have a longer view than you do. I'd ask if you wanted to come with me and watch, maybe help, but you just say no, so...
So what, you're just gonna keep going? Over that tiny chance?
Anything above zero, Nepeta. Any chance at all.
You'll burn everything to the ground. Everyone?
For her, yes. Everything. Everyone. Forever.
She hugs you again. You punch her in the jaw.
Gave you that one. And it's time to go. For me, not you, obviously, but... Let me direct your attention.
She points across the chamber. The package sits there, still blinking.
I'm afraid only the manual detonator works now. Cliché, I know. But a narrative loves a good cliché. You remember wearing a pair of undercover Imperial agents who are also star-crossed lovers of vastly mismatched blood caste and vacillating quadrants navigate the ever-changing landscape of... Nah, hell with it, you know the one. Anyway, the point is... Manual detonator. I'd act all... Oh, you could somehow save yourself and abandon Earth's sea to its fate, but nah. You're a hero, Nepeta. You weren't always one, but I made you into one. I made everyone down there what they are. And you were so, so, so helpful with that. So in gratitude, I got you a hero's death. Consider it an ascension present.
She picks up her glasses and straightens her godhood. She prepares to tap a subcutaneous implant in her wrist. The existence of that implant and its purpose are just some of the many, many things that you now know about her. And you know one more thing.
Hey, Perezi.
Yeah, AC?
Even if she comes back, she's just gonna kill you.
Well, wouldn't that be a nice change of pace?
She taps the implant, and you are alone in the chamber. You take a moment and look around. It's dark in here. Dark and quiet and warm, and not too big to be cozy. The slow, steady blink of the light paints the walls in the color of your favorite quadrant of all. It reminds you of early mornings spent in your cave, just beginning to drift off to sleep, as huge, peaceful lumber beasts prowl past outside. Turning the rising sun off and on, off and on, off and on. You reach for the light and purr. Be Carcat. A sound that feels like the exact inverse of the previous sound plays on the remaining speakers in the command center.
Package activated. Confirm effect on target. The moon is gone.
She fucking did it, bro.
She fucking did it. Mission accomplished.
If
you clench your broken hand as tightly as the pain allows you, then you clench it tighter.
If she reached God tier, then...
It doesn't work that way, Karkat. You know what that device does. Even if not, Karkat... There's no way she didn't die a hero, man.
I... Yeah. But... Maybe... Terezi...
There's not a chance in hell Terezi was on that thing when it went. Or hell. Most of him, anyway. There was never the tiniest chance of a single unit of that army setting foot on this planet. And never the tiniest chance that we would have done anything other than what we did. I am certain of that. Do you hear me, Rose?
Rose's tear-stained face gives the tiniest, most minute nod. Then a shake. Then the motions stop being discernible.
We'll be back at base in 5. Tamias testified out.
The comm goes dead. Rose rises from the couch and stiffly walks over to Jade. Rose places a hand on Jade's shoulder and whispers something in her ear. Jade convulses, nods, meets Rose's eyes for a moment, and then lays back down as Rose stiffly walks out of the command center.
Oh, fuck that!
She stands up. You grab her arm and slam her into the wall, not even a little bit gently. She flails for a moment, but you hold her there with your good hand. When you speak, it is in a furious razor of a whisper. Now you listen to me, and you listen to me right fucking now, Latch. Don't you say a single fucking word to her.
She sent 3 fucking people.
She had 3 fucking people, Latch. Jade's fucked. Jake's worthless. Roxy's a mess. I was never any good in a fight.
She had me.
And you are the most important person on this fucking planet. Even more important than her. We lose her, we lose our leader, we lose you, we lose everything, Latch. That's hard. To be that important is hard. But her job is so much harder. You're bored. That sucks. I'm sorry. And I know you have the least reason to be here out of all of us. And for what you did for us, for what you do for us, for what you do for her, thank you. Now quit your... fucking bitching. I knew Nepeta for my whole fucking life. And Rose made the right fucking call. None of this is fun. If Rose needs a kismesis right now, then go. Be her kismesis. But don't you grub fucking dare say word one about what happened tonight that she does not ask you to say. Are we clear? She sucks in a massive breath of air, holds it in, then lets it all out in the same motion as her sad ragdoll nod. We're clear. You release her. She brushes herself off theatrically, lightly grabs your shoulder, purses her lips in a lopsided smile. Dave's lucky. You hold her gaze for a moment, then break away to go see to Jade. Be Jade.
Jade!
It's been a week. You aren't crying so much anymore. You aren't crying right now. You are calm right now, very calm. Nothing is wrong right now. It will not start being wrong just because Jake is here. You are fine.
I would like for you to train me.
What, Jake?
In marksmanship, combat.
Why?
Jade, you are wrong about yourself. Danger. You're not useless. Danger. You're not stupid. Danger. And if I'd been even a fraction of what you are, then maybe...
Oh my God, are you saying you could have saved her? That you... Jake!
Danger, 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 danger.
Is there anything you won't make about yourself, Jake? Anything? God, have you looked at yourself? You're pathetic, Jake. You're so weak, it hurts to look at you. You're so scared, it makes me want to fucking cry. You think you can pick up where I left off? You! It's all you can do not to pee your pants when someone raises their voice near you. You're worse than Tavros. You're worse than teenage Carcat. You're 20 goddamn years old, Jake. It's all I can do not to lose my fucking mind with your constant need for fucking validation and fucking reassurance, and you just keep taking and taking and taking. I used to think you were cool. When we were pen pals, I thought Jake English was so cool. Oh God, I really am a fucking idiot. I saved the life of the stupidest, most pathetic fucking person in the stupidest, most pathetic fucking way. And before, we had one of me, and now we have two of you. If I can't make me into the old me, Jake, I sure as fucking hell can't make you into the old me. That's for goddamn sure.
He's still. He's silent.
Well?
He bolts. Pray, Chase? Not pray, friend, family. Oh God, what have you done? You are so, so, so stupid. You are so, so, so useless.
Jake, 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 Jake! Jake? I'm so sorry, Jake.
Jake.
I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry.
Jake!
I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry!
Ow. Jake is standing with his right hand wrapped around to the left side of his head. He slapped you. He winces.
Terribly sorry about that, Jade.
Look where you bloody are. You look around. You are... Where the hell are you?
This is my room. Jade, you're standing in my room. You are standing.
You are. You aren't standing. What? How?
By Jove, your feet, Jade. Your feet.
Your feet are floating 5 inches off the floor. Crackly bullshit magic dances around your striped socks and up your legs, torso, around your arms. Ooh, boy.
Steady on!
He darts forward and catches you as you suddenly drop down. He deposits you in a chair. Ow. Ow. Ow.
I didn't see you come in, but I think you teleported. Jade, I had absolutely no idea you still had your powers. I just thought you... Well,
I'm not sure how much it matters at this stage.
What?
His face seems to be unsure which expression to make, so it is sampling all of them at once.
Jake, what the fuck?
Jade, I had a feeling that you weren't as hurt as you thought you were.
What the fuck, Jake?
We didn't know, did we? We didn't have doctors, or we didn't have doctors. We don't have doctors. We don't...
No, we can't tell.
There was no point in asking you to try harder to get out of bed because you might have hurt yourself worse.
Oh my God, I could have saved Nepeta. Oh my God!
No. Sit back down. If you had known you had your powers, Therese, you would have done something different. Something that you wouldn't have been able to stop. It is how she works.
You don't know how she works.
No, I don't, but Dirk does. And that is what Dirk has been saying. Not about your powers, of course, but about the entire mission. We were had. And she is the one who had us, and she would have had us no matter what we did.
God. Shit. Fuck.
You stare at your legs.
Fine. Fine. How did you know?
I saw things. Little things, but they added up. You gingerly move them back and forth, and it hurts. They ache. But it's... manageable. It's okay. It's... You're so stupid.
When I would come by, it would always take you a moment to notice me, and until you did, you didn't act like it hurt. Nearly as much, at any rate. You'd move without wincing. You'd move more overall, in fact. Seemed just as likely that it was all just because I'd drive you mad.
No, you don't.
Yes, I bloody well do, Jade. I drive everybody mad, and I'm sorry about that, but that's beside the point. It could have been anything. Again, I'm no doctor, but it was consistent, and it got more pronounced with time. I think you were just scared to get hurt again.
Jake, that doesn't make any sense. I've died before.
Well, you've died, yes, but you hadn't really been hurt. Had you?
Oh, fuck.
At least you have a good reason to be scared. I'm scared all the time for no reason at all. And to be clear, Jay, to be absolutely crystal, I don't think you were doing it on purpose.
But it's the kind of thing that I would do.
On purpose. He sort of flaps down on the floor, legs in a V, knobbly knees straight as an arrow. His 20-year-old face looks every minute of 12 as he watches you stiffly kick your legs back and forth. It hurts. It still hurts, and you realize that the pain has been level for weeks. It's still there, and it's not getting better. But it is so, so much less intense than you thought it was. That big, toothy grin returns, but now you see the strain it causes on his face. And his next words sound like someone jovially falling down a flight of stairs, bouncing on each painful step.
I'm not a very good person, Jade.
You're right about me, no? No, you're right about me. What you said was right. Every word.
No, it wasn't.
Jade, I am talking now. I am weak. I am pathetic. I take and take and take, and I never really learned how to give back. Heavens to Betsy, I should have learned it, though. I should have learned it from you. You were the most amazing person I ever met. Well, and the only. Until all this.
He looks straight through you. And you know exactly what it means. Because you've done it to him as well. You really have. Haven't you?
Not you, you. There you come close. She was strong and she was brave and she gave and she gave and she gave. And she died with 3 holes.
He jabs a finger thrice in the direction of your torso, skewering you each time. Ow. Ow. Ow.
That's what she got for being strong and brave. And then you came along, and you were strong and brave. And the same thing happened to you. Only you didn't die, so... There we were. There we were, weren't we? There you were. And I know I went and made it all about me again, the same way I always do, but well, there you were.
In the infirmary. And no one was visiting you. And someone had to, because that just wasn't any bloody fair, was it? You feel like the worst person in the world. Because you are. You are awful. You are the worst.
I'm sorry I drove you mad, I really am, but, well, can't help it. Can't help being yourself.
Grandpa always said that.
Smart man, me. Not me, of course, but...
Your mind explodes.
Oh, God, Jake, I was stupid. It wasn't Beck. It was me. It was me. It was me. I was just scared. Scared to lose you, Grandpa. You again. Fuck.
Oh, there now, there now, there now.
Fuck, fuck.
It's all right.
He holds you. He does not let go. After about an hour, he asks you what he was like. And slowly, you begin to tell him.
B. Roxy. Back during the session,
Shortly after you reached God tier, you realized that you could remove the void from objects that did not exist, thus making them real. You used it to make all kinds of things, simple things, nothing too important and nothing too complicated. Food was just about the most complicated thing you could manage. Nothing living. A dead cow was fine. A living one, no one likes to think about the time you tried to make a living cow. Secretly, you keep trying to bring Frigglish back. You keep the attempts in jars that no one else is allowed to see. Shh. But soon after you discovered you could do this, you realized that every time you stole the void from something, you kept it. Void keeps everything, and you are the rogue of void. You keep everything, too. It would build up on you, make you feel weird, like you were slowly fading out of existence. You didn't want to just start giving void back to things, vanishing them willy-nilly. That felt wrong to you somehow. It basically isn't possible that that would have felt any worse than what ended up happening, but... You made a box to keep the void in. It wasn't easy, and it cost an absolute ton of grist. But it worked. It was a dustbin, a receptacle for all the void you built up. Every time you took a shower, you dumped your void as well. It usually wasn't too much at a time. Then Terezi happened, and Earth-Sea happened, and suddenly things like food and water and basically everything became a lot more scarce. You built up a massive supply of void. You honest to God can't remember whose idea it was to make it into a bomb. You have a sneaking suspicion that the reason you can't remember is that it was your idea, and that's not a fun thing to remember. What's definitely the case is that you never gave it a name. If it didn't have a name, it was harder to bring up in conversations, and you definitely didn't want it to be used unless there was no other way. It's just your shit luck named Terezi Pyrope, that the one time that there was no other way, your bomb, your void, was used to kill 3 million adorable little chess people and wipe an entire moon from the sky, along with Nepeta Leishon. Time passes, and you keep drinking. The more you drink, the more you hear things, voices, noises, a crowd. You see things, too. Windows, towers, spires, smooth ebony faces. One kind, smiling, gray-skinned figure flitting around the violet cityscape on gossamer wings. Slowly mending 3 million hearts. The void looks different from the inside, because everything that ever fell into it is still there. If a city, if a people, if an entire world could survive within it, maybe all of you could as well. Or maybe you could take the void back, piece by piece, bring all of them back. Maybe you could make a new mother grub. And then you sober up, your mind clears, and... What are you talking about? It's been well over a year since Operation Fancy Santa. Rose still won't really talk to you. She and Latch are still a thing, and you aren't quite sure what to make of that. Well, you are sure. You think it's weird, but it really isn't your business. They seem happy, not your business. She stopped showing up to training after a while, shortly after you started coming, but she still exercises every morning. Dirk, Dave, and Latch are still getting along like a house on fire. Ironically on fire, of course. Jake's becoming a better shot all the time, and Jade has most of her mobility and about half of her power back, though everyone's best guess is that she'll never be fully healed unless something miraculous happens. She's begun researching human and canine anatomy in earnest. Crackhead, of course, spends every waking second making sure that everyone doesn't fall apart any more than they already have. He misses Nepeta way, way more than he lets on. And you, well, you're drinking. More than you should be. And that definitely doesn't help the whole you and Rose situation, but alcohol makes you happier somehow than it used to. You're not quite sure why.
B. Latula.
Marry me.
Fucking what?
The two of you have been dating for almost a sweep. You moved into the same respite block about half a sweep ago. Currently, you are doing something called snuggling, which is basically a pile but lamer in the panting, sweaty, bruised aftermath. And your kismesis is being weird AF. Marry me.
Isn't that that stupid human thing Carcat and Dave do where you only quad with one person forever?
Who else is it that you're wanting to fuck exactly?
Hey, babe?
You get up and walk a few paces from the bed. She stands up too, but she doesn't follow you. Fuck yourself, you know who. Why is she doing this? Yes, asshole, I do. And you know who I want to fuck. And we can't. We don't have those people. Those people are dead, Angela. We do have each other. And I don't even care who you fuck or love or get consoled by. I don't know. That doesn't matter to me. I just want a wife. I know it's not a troll thing.
It's not a me thing either, babe.
How do you know that? Your reply comes out more sarcastic than bitter.
After this, is there anything else I can give you? That her imperious codependence fucking desires? I already gave you my afterlife, my powers, my skills.
And now you're hungry. What is it about this girl? She's so impossibly, infuriatingly hot you stalk towards her.
All the orgasms your greedy cunt can handle, it's never enough. Not for you.
Not for any of us! Her voice is far too loud for the size of this block. You back up a step, but she lunges at you and slams her lips into yours, gyrates her tongue inside your mouth, and then breaks away. She holds your gaze, though, panting. The humans call that thing on her face and chest a flush, and isn't that just the most confusing shit ever?
None of this is enough for any of us, Latula. None of us are happy, and none of us can be. I've seen the future. I see it all the time, and it's just this as far as the eye can see, and I don't know what to do. I don't know anything anymore. I never fucking did.
It never stops being weird to you that human tears aren't the same color as their blood.
I just know that you want a matesprit, and so do I, and neither of us can have one. We don't get to. Nothing can change that.
They look too clear, like empty, like they forgot to pick up her emotions before they left her gander bulbs. Poor Rose.
We can make it mean whatever we want it to mean, Latula. It can be what we need it to be. I need something, anything, because I hardly feel anything anymore. But listen to me when I say this.
She grabs your face with both of her hands.
I hate you, Latula Pyrope.
The two of you stay that way for a long, long time. Her weird-ass clear tears slowly dry on her weird-ass pink cheeks. I care.
Hmm?
I care who you fuck.
What?
If I say yes to this, that's what I want it to be.
Why?
You place your hands onto hers. Maybe because you're talking about this like you don't care. Like you don't care if it's special, but I do. And so does she. Which is the point. If we do this stupid human permaquad thing, then it's special. It's just us.
Are you just doing this for her or to her? You don't know. I care who you fuck to.
Why did you say you didn't then?
Because she was lying. Because I was lying. That's not a reason, babe. Yes, it is. For her, it is. I'm just the best. Kiss Mrs. Santai. It's a joke, mostly, but also she is not. Not at all. In fact, she is terrible at this. You hate her for that. You hate her so much. Maybe she'll get the hang of being polygamous. Maybe you'll get the hang of being married. It's also fucking stupid. Oh, man. It's like one of Dave's fucking comics.
Wall.
Indeed.
Shit. Let's be married.
B. Jane, you wake up.
Wake up? Where?
Hello there, Jane.
Oh my word, I'm so embarrassed. I must have dozed off.
Don't worry about it, I understand. Job hunting is stressful.
It really is, Miss Pyrope.
So you'll be pleased to know that, after careful consideration, despite this momentary breach in etiquette and the gap in your resume, the position is yours.
Really? Oh, thank you so much, Miss Pyrope. This is a dream come true.
Beaming, you take your new boss's gray-skinned hand, firmly and confidently, the way your dad taught you, and shake.
Welcome to the team, Jane.
B. Rose,
you wake up screaming.
Babe, what the fuck?
Your heart is beating so fast.
What's going on? I had a...
Was it a vision? No, it wasn't. It was just a dream. Or about. You try to picture it. All you see is black.
The Homestuck Fan Author Coalition is a place for authors to write, brainstorm, discuss, and collaborate. Link available in description. The music is .413 Repeating, composed and produced by Sam Gabriel. Special thanks to Sakiko. If you would like me to record a story, voiceover, or character, please get in touch with me using the contact information on my website, which is located at samgabrielvo.com. And there you can find links to other stories that I've read, my Discord server, and various ways to support me. And finally, as always, thank you for listening.